If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
From day one, the Brian Koberger case felt less like a straightforward true crime story and more like some twisted psychological puzzle. Tailor-made for a Netflix special, minus the popcorn. But here's the kicker. Instead of unraveling, this puzzle has only gotten more complicated, more haunting, and somehow more infuriating. Koberger's sudden decision to plead guilty threw a true crime community into a tailspin, and just as we were bracing ourselves for the spectacle of a trial, he stepped off the ride, took control, and basically said, "I'll decide how this ends, not you." But why? Today, we're diving deep into the psychological maze behind Koberger's choice. Joining me to unpack the twisted journey is retired FBI special agent and former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Drake. Robin's expertise in reading what makes dangerous people tick is precisely what we need to decode this bizarre final chapter of Koberger's public story with. In our conversation, we're going to explore how control, something Koberger clearly craves but consistently failed to achieve, may have played a central role in his plea. This wasn't about avoiding death or sparing his family the agony of a trial. This was Koberger's way of reclaiming the narrative, asserting dominance in a situation where he'd lost all power. Robin sheds new light on how his plea might have offered Koberger exactly what he'd been missing. The chance to orchestrate his own future behind bars, even if that future means becoming a permanent fixture in criminal psychology textbooks. But what's most chilling about this discussion isn't just the why, it's the what's next. Robin and I break down whether Koberger's upcoming sentencing could mirror the infamous Dennis Rader BTK spectacle. Could Koberger, who idolized serial killers, follow Rader's footsteps, using the courtroom as his personal stage to meticulously detail his atrocities? Or will he carefully guard his secrets, drip-feeding them over the time to maintain his twisted brand of notoriety? And finally, we'll confront perhaps the darkest question yet. Does Brian Koberger pose a continued threat behind bars? If killing provided him the emotional thrill he'd been chasing his entire life, what happens now that he's permanently confined among others, people who might not see him as a criminal, but as a trophy? Before we get into all of that, let's address the elephant in the room. Control. Robin, how much do you think this elusive, intoxicating concept of control factored into Koberger's sudden guilty plea? Control. How much do you think that calculated into this choice as well? Because it was fairly out of control for him. Everything he was trying to throw at the wall and stick did not. This is the first one where, okay, he's got control of everything, basically. It's done. He threw the towel in. Now he can go forward and be in control of certain things, obviously not his freedom, but if somebody wants to study him, talk to him, he's going to get to go down that road. And putting him back in control, I wonder how much that of the emotions that he does have, control is likely one of them, and something that he certainly was not having any sort of grip on in recent years.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and I agree. You know, regaining control of more of his life than he's had, probably definitely a motivation factor as well. That's why he seemed pretty comfortable yesterday with everything, because mm-hmm. he felt, again, I think he always just likes to plan the path forward.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to plan the path forward too much just because everything was in chaos because he was, you know, he was in chaos. But now that it's got resolution and moving forward, you know, it's stabilized that crazy brain.
Pure speculation on this. Sentencing is going to be coming up, check my notes, July 23rd and possibly the 24th at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. They have the extra day in there in case they need it for the victim impact statements. Do you think we're going to see a repeat of what we saw with Dennis Rader, considering the connections here? I mean, Catherine Ramsland, the one that wrote the book on him, now looks like she's probably going to write the book on Koberger. That's my conjecture out of it. I would not be surprised at all. But BTK was one who, in his sentencing, at the very last minute, did the same thing, stood up and said, I did it. We don't have to do the trial now. And admitted, but then in sentencing, went through it. 45-minute recitation about everything that he did. Do you think we're going to see Koberger stand up and attempt to do that at the impact statements, or is this a different animal where he's going to cower and be very selective at where and how he shares his story?
Boy, that's a great unknown, Tony. I could see both. I really can. You know, he very much studied and emulated to different degrees people like BTK. So you're going to think he's going to want to do that, especially since BTK was so well interviewed after the fact in prison, in jail, like Koberger most likely wants to have happen. At the same time, though, you want to be able to control a lot. I mean, also, BTK had a lifespan of doing this, so he had a lot of things and details he could leak out over time and maintain control over a larger period of time because his empire of killing was so vast.
Yeah.
Koberger's is very, very narrow. So he doesn't have a whole lot he can leak. So if he leaks it all at the sentencing, then he's got nothing left in the barrels, basically. He may say a little something to kind of whet the appetite and maintain control without losing his only reservoir of tools he has to maintain interest. Because remember, that's what these guys do. They want to maintain their own control over their own notoriety and grandiosity. So they're going to be very covetous of the leakage they give. BTK, again, being really, really good at doing just that and holding things in reserve. And when you have someone like Koberger where you only got what, but I don't mean to diminish at all, where you have four murders.
Yeah.
Most likely not over a span of time. We're thinking, wise, this is his first and only. He's going to be covetous of holding as much as he can in, I would think.
Yeah. And that's, do you think would he get joy out of telling the families exactly what he did? Because I don't, with BTK, I struggle with it. I don't know that Dennis Rader was getting joy out of torturing those families and telling what he did. I think it was more so, I'm proud of the length and the craft. And it's a really weird way of using the word, but the craft of what he did and was able to get away with it. Because those were unsolved forever. This was solved. I mean, so there isn't like the revealing of everything. Other than you forgot a knife sheath. It's pretty clear what you did. You got a knife and you stabbed these kids and you forgot your sheath.
So again, it's really interesting. Whatever he does, he's not doing it to get at someone.
Yeah.
In other words, if all of a sudden he came out at the sentencing and did just that and he gives a full, what we call it, a full Monty on talking about exactly what he did, why he did it, it wouldn't be out of vengeance towards the families or to get them. Because it's not about, everything's about him and his response. I would imagine if he did anything at all and gave any statement at all, it'd be him experimenting with, can this cause an emotional response in me? How do I feel when I do this? Does this make me feel better? So in other words, it wouldn't be done to jab at them. It'd be done for his benefit in some way to maybe experiment with, does this work? Does this, because remember, that's what he's been doing. He's been experimenting his whole life.
Yeah.
This whole thing to me is one big experiment on, can I get an emotional response? He keeps dabbling in this. Let me try drugs. Let me try this. Let me do this. Let me murder a couple kids and see if that works.
Yeah.
And so everything comes down to him as an experiment for a reaction. And so if he does, it's not an intended for anything but himself.
If murder is what made him tick, what made him feel life, made him get some sort of emotion.
If it did,
that's let's say if it did, is Koberger a risk to the population in prison? If that's what gets him off, and I'm not speaking, maybe it is sexual, I don't know. Is that someone who obviously he has nothing to lose anymore? I mean, if killing is his thing, I don't know that I'd want to be in a cell with this guy.
That's interesting too, because you know he's got a history now of violence, up close and personal violence with a knife, so that clearly doesn't bother him. The lack of fellow prisoners to be able to read him is also going to be a challenge. But at the same time, though, he took the lives of kids, which, you know, I don't know if it in the prison system it puts you in the same light as a pedophile in a prison system. But I've heard some people comment on some social media streams that he won't last a month in jail before he's murdered.
I put a poll out, actually.
So now that to me, I'm not advocating anything illegal.
No, I'm not either, but I was curious.
You can imagine at least two families feeling really, really justified by that.
Oh, completely. Yeah. By the time this airs, the poll is probably going to have different numbers on it, but
what's your poll say?
That was my question, because I made some choice comments about a broomstick the other day when I was referencing Dahmer and Koberger in the same sentence. I'm not endorsing it by any means, but, you know, I get the anger. What we're looking at here right now, how long until Koberger is removed from this planet through prison justice is the question that I posed.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Before New Year's, that is leading it. 31.1% in a close second. 2027 and never are tied at 26.2%. 2026 is at 16.4%. So you're kind of in the area of it'll be a little bit to never, or it's going to happen right away.
They could actually put him in isolation for his own protection,
which
too,
they probably will and probably need to do for several years.
I wonder if Vegas has odds on him yet.
Do they do that for like this sort of shit?
They do it for everything.
They got odds
they?
For everything. Oh my God. I mean, again, not endorsing that, but it is certainly the vileness of this crime.
I know two families you might be.
Yeah. I put some money down. I'd see if there's a, yeah, there's
this is the most heart. This is, you know, it's funny. I thought there'd be a feeling of relief when this one was done, but,
I don't know.
A lot of horrible emotions on this one.
I think one of the worst things is that picture, that thumbs up in the shower.
Oh,
it's real. It is. He did it. He took the picture for that reason. It's everything 100%. We speculated on is true.
Yep. 100%.
Stepping back from my conversation with Robin Drake, it's clear we're not just dealing with a cold-blooded killer. We're dealing with someone whose twisted motives stretch far beyond violence. Brian Koberger's decision to plead guilty was unsettling precisely because it feels like another calculated move on a chessboard he built for himself. It wasn't remorse, it wasn't redemption, it was control, pure and simple. Control over his narrative, control over the next phase of his life, and perhaps most chillingly, control over his own infamy. Robin's insights about Koberger's motivations were particularly haunting. Think about it, the plea deal wasn't just about avoiding death, it was about Koberger reclaiming his autonomy in a world that had reduced him to a courtroom spectacle. For someone like him, freedom might not mean the outside world. It might mean the power to choose his interactions, select his visitors, dictate the flow of information, and decide who gets access to his twisted mind. Koberger didn't surrender. He seized the steering wheel. And now we're along for the ride. As Robin highlighted, the upcoming sentencing process poses another disturbing question. Will Koberger follow the path of BTK's Dennis Rader, using the courtroom as a stage to painstakingly detail every gruesome act he committed? Or will he strategically withhold the worst details, doling them out piece by piece to prolong his spotlight? Whatever he chooses, it will be self-serving. It won't be an act of contrition. It won't be an apology. It will be a performance. one last chilling manipulation. And let's not overlook the practical dangers. Robin raised the unsettling prospect of Koberger in prison. If murder was his twisted attempt to feel alive, what's stopping him from continuing this deadly experiment behind bars? It's a grim thought. We've seen prison justice before. Jeffrey Dahmer did not survive it. Is Koberger now entering an environment where his past atrocities become a ticking time bomb? Will the other inmates see him as a monster or an opportunity? And frankly, how long before someone decides prison justice is their way of closing a case the courts didn't quite finish? Let me know what your thoughts are in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe, whatever podcast platform you may be listening to us on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, whatever it is, hit subscribe. We do greatly appreciate your support and you're listening to this program. Thank you so much for that. Please do comment. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, for all of us at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want true crime coverage all day, every day? Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today and get the latest cases delivered right to your feed.